It's very good to be here, as I said last time. And we sure do appreciate, I know I speak for everybody, all the missionaries that are here. We appreciate all your hospitality, the ladies and men who brought and prepared food during the week, during the meals. We really appreciate it. It was excellent food. You take care of us a lot better than, at least me, than I deserve. I'm very humbled when I'm with you and thankful for everything you do for us. We're thankful for, Terry and I are both very thankful for how you pray for us and support us and your offerings. We thank you very much for all this. And we hope that what we do in some way is worthy of that confidence. Look at, if you would, in the book of Luke, chapter 14. I'm going to ask Brother Milton if he would lead us in prayer.
Our Father, in Jesus' name, through His blood, through His merits, we come in your presence to recognize it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ we have that access. Lord, we thank you for the promise. Now, through Him, we can come boldly. Lord, you know the need of the hour. You know the need of every single person that's present this morning. Lord, I pray you quieten hearts. I pray just now you prepare hearts. Lord, I do pray that during this time, we might be able to focus and concentrate on your word. Lord, I pray you anoint your messenger just now. Give him liberty. Give him freedom. Loose his lips. Father, may he have learned and have freedom of thought this morning. May the Holy Spirit of God direct the message to our hearts. May you be lifted up. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Luke chapter 14, verse 20. This is a parable of the supper. We're not going to read the parable. I just want to read one verse and show you a few things that have touched me during this week. You may not like them, may not want me to say them, but I'm going to go through a few things. Verse 20 says, "And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." He was handicapped. This man is handicapped. Most of us who have been married or are married, we know just what he's talking about. Many have said that this is the only man in the passage with a legitimate excuse. I've married a wife and I cannot come. He was called. He was invited. He was probably willing and he was probably able, but he could not come. I want to talk about that for just a little bit. I have a few points I want to bring out. First, the point is, I'd like you to notice that you can marry a handicap. You can be perfectly able-bodied, and you can go off and just marry yourself a handicap for the work of God. Now, I'm not just talking to men. Women can do this also. You know, we have, in our churches in Mexico, we have a good deal of women who have a great desire to be on the mission field, but they're married to a handicap. He has no desire, probably never will. Every mission conference, when we say, is there anybody who feels called of God to go to the mission field, these ladies will stand up over and over, year after year after year, and their husband just sits there. And they come up and say, what can we do? You're handicapped. You're hamstringed. You can't do anything. What I'm telling you, young people, both you men and women, you better be real careful who you marry. I know that once you're married, you pretty much have to say this. You have to say, you know, I wouldn't marry anybody else ever. I'm just so happy who I'm married. But you know, a lot of times that's just a big lie. And maybe you haven't caught on to that fact, but everyone else looking around has. You better be real, real careful who you marry. It'll determine what you are able to do for the Lord's service as you get older. Almost every ministry in the Bible requires the presence of a faithful spouse. And those who do not have that faithful spouse, they cannot come. They may be more willing than the ones on the field today. They may be more gifted than the ones on the field today. But they've just married a wife and they cannot come. You need to think about what kind of young man, what kind of wife you really are looking for.
Amen.
Paul, he mentions this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20. 9, verse 5, sorry. This is the kind of wife you need to look for if you have any interest at all in serving God in a full-time ministry. Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as the other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? First of all, you need to look for a godly woman, a sister. This is where you should be looking for a wife, in the congregation.
Amen.
Too many young men think they're going to go find somebody in the job place, or in their school, or amongst their little group of friends, and they're going to evangelize her and they're going to win her. And that's nonsense.
That's right. Amen.
Paul says, you're a minister and you want a wife? You need to find one amongst the sisters.
Amen.
This is the kind of wife you ought to be looking for. And you also ought to be looking, he says, for a wife. You need someone who has some wifely qualities to her. You don't need someone who's real good at a job. You need someone who's good at being a wife.
Amen.
Look, if you ladies want to work, that's great. You know, you live in the best time in the world to do so. But I wouldn't marry you. You ladies want to keep your name? That's great. As far as I'm concerned, you can keep it. When I got married, I was looking for a wife. I wasn't looking for some healthy competition or an opposing political viewpoint. I got all the arguments I need with my coworkers. Don't need any more. I'm not looking for someone who wants to challenge everything I think or everything I say. I'm looking for a wife. Another thing you need to be looking for is someone who knows how to follow. He says to lead about a wife, not be led about by a wife. Now, you know, you may not agree with me, and you, frankly, I just don't care. This is the kind of wife, young man, if you have any interest in the ministry, you ought to be looking for. Someone who understands that it is a privilege to follow a godly man. And you young ladies, you ought to be real careful who you marry also. If you really do have an interest in serving God, you better find someone who has that interest. This man had taken a wife, and now he could not come. But you know, there's another thing I want to mention, is that not only can you marry a handicap, but you can raise a handicap. You know, there are men in the ministry now that are handicapped because of their children. Bible says over there in Titus that you have to have your house in subjection. They've raised their own handicaps. They conceived them, and they brought them into the world, and they raised them up in such a fashion that they're handicapped by them. Now, I'm not saying that every time a child does something wrong, it is the parent's fault. By no means. But you know, a lot of times it is also. As many times as it's not, it is. You got kids nowadays who do not know the meaning of work. You know what we have nowadays? We have a whole generation of kids who are pumped up on Ritalin because they have ADD or some other nonsense. Now, you may believe in ADD, and that's just fine. You believe in whatever you want, but that's nonsense. See, if any kid in the world would have been pumped up on Ritalin, it would have been me. But the medicine I needed was not to be taken orally. I need it right down here on the other side. And my dad, he knew how to dispense it. He's got a PhD in this matter. We got these kids, and we say, I don't know why they're so hyper. And yet they sit all day in front of a PlayStation, beep, 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 drinking soda. I don't know why they're bouncing off the walls. Boy, you put that kid to mowing lawn.
That's right.
You know, my boys, my wife, she was raised with three sisters. Her brother was born late when she was already older, but you know, so she doesn't, when we now with our boys, she's, ah, She just don't know what to think about these boys. Of course, to me, I'm very thankful. Not both of them together aren't as bad as I was. So I got out, unless I have a little package coming late in life, I got out real, real light. I tell you, Lord had a lot of mercy on me. And she's just, I just don't know how to control them. And they're just all over the place in there. And you know, it's not like they're disobedient. You tell them, don't do that again. They never do that again. They find a million other things you can't even imagine to say don't. You know, you can't make a list. You don't have sufficient time to say don't do that and don't do that and don't do that and don't do that and don't do other variations of that. Boy, I took those boys. We moved in this house. It was pretty much in shambles. And so we started working on it. I took those boys and we put them to work. And the first day we got them a wheelbarrow and we had these huge mounds of grass out in the yard, big old mounds of wet grass. And we had them, I had those two boys haul them out. And you say, well, my boy, I don't think he can work. You know, my boys are pretty little. You know, they're like, I never remember how old they are, but they're like around 7-ish to 8-ish to 9-ish, something 10-ish, something like that. They're little, about that big. They hauled out, and one day, a dump truck, a complete full dump truck load of full grass. Amen. Hauled it out. You know, they weren't bouncing off the walls that night. That just sort of cured their ADD. They got some ZZZs that night. Took them to San Luis. We made some closets and made some stuff, and I put them to run a sander. Those boys went home and ate like men. They ate and never said a word at the table. Usually, you know, they're like bouncing around and jumping on and off the chairs and eating standing up, and you can't get them to sit. That day, they sat down. They knew what it was to sit down and eat a meal. I did all that for my dad. He believes that work is a cure for all ailments. You're fat? You need to work. Right. You're skinny? You need to work. Right. You have asthma? You need to work. Cure everything, according to my dad. Cured me. I moved out just as soon as I could. Now, I'm telling you, there's many of us who are raising our own handicaps. And in a few years, our ministry is going to be severely handicapped because of the way we raised our children. Amen. You better be real careful how you raise your children. Right. Better be very careful. I want to point out another point. Not only can you marry a handicap, but you can be a handicap. You know, there's two people in this story. You got the man who could not come. And you got the woman who was his handicap and would not allow him to come. And you can be sitting here right now in church on Easter morning, and you can be a handicap to your spouse. There are men in this congregation and in the other ones we have in Mexico who are full-time ministers disguised as construction workers. They should be on the field, but they're not. They're laying bricks, or they're stocking warehouses, or doing other things. And I'm not belittling those who work in any way. If you're not called to full-time ministry, well, that is exactly what you should be doing. You should be doing a job. You should be supporting those who are. But there are men who are called. They are called of God to be on the mission field. They have been endowed with sufficient gift, but they cannot come because they have a wife, or they have kids, or they have friends, or they have a church who are handicapping them. Now, this is a sad thing. And I would sure hate to be that person on Judgment Day. You better think about it. Every one of us ought to think about it. You know, it's not just your wife. It's not just the women or the children who are handicapping these ministries. There are churches, by their stupid bureaucratic system, who don't let missionaries get to the field. I am so thankful that we are called out of this church where we do not do deputation to get there. 10 years, 5 years. We know people have been on deputation forever. A church has a responsibility to send out those who God calls. Amen. Not put them through this prolonged thing where you never get there. And when they finally do, they spend more time on deputation than they do on the field, and they get discouraged and go back. A church ought to be sending out people who are called of God.
Amen.
Barnabas and Paul were called of God, and the church had a little prayer meeting, and they laid their hands on them, and they sent them out. And that's what a church ought to be doing. Your friends, one of your friends might be called of God. And you're the problem. You're the reason. You're the problem. Trying to talk them out of it. You know what? A lot of times parents are the handicap. You know, that missionary stuff is real fine for those West boys. But my boy's going to college. I'm not against college. I dropped out of high school, but I'm not against college. Well, high school's for dummies. That's why they go. But you know, you ought to be real careful what you discourage your children from. I would sure hate to be you on judgment day. And God says, I called him. I set him apart for a special purpose, but he could not come. Sometimes it's the children themselves, like I said, rebellious, stubborn. We have friends in Mexico. Missionaries in Mexico spent months up here. They wanted to come up for a couple weeks, ended up spending months up here because they have some teenage kid. You just can't get it together. If you have no other reason for living your life right, there ought to be so you can be sure that you're not the reason your parents fail on the mission field.
Amen.
No other reason. You know, I always look for reasons for doing things. I have a hard time doing things when there's no reason for it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times there seems to be no apparent reason, especially when I was younger, for doing right. Those who did right seemed to suffer, and those who did bad seemed to have a whole lot of fun. But I'm going to give you a reason that you ought to be living right. Because if you don't, you're going to handicap your parents. One more thing. Not only can you marry a handicap, and not only can you be a handicap, but you can fake a handicap. You know, there's a lot of men saying that they can't go to the mission field, and they're blaming their wife for it. And it isn't their wife at all. She pretty much has everything packed. We had a man in one of our churches in Mexico, surrendered to go. His wife been standing up every mission conference for years, wanted to go to the mission field, wanted to go to the mission field. He finally stands up and says, I've been called of God. A few months later, he says, I want to go, but my wife don't want to go. Now, the thing about that, are you sure about that? She's been standing up every year. So we go talk to her. She says, no, I want to go. There's a lot of people like this. They're pretending they can't go. They're called of God. They know they should be going, but they don't want to. Now, that's fine. You don't want to go. You know, this isn't for everyone. It's not for everyone. Not everyone can go. But don't blame other people. Just be a man about it and say, I don't want to go. I'm just not interested. What I'm doing now, what I have now, where I'm at now is much more important to me. I'm not going to go. Don't blame other people for this. I don't know what the case was with this man in Luke. I don't know if his wife was legitimately standing in his way. I have no idea. But I know there's a whole lot of people that their wife does not stand in their way. A lot of people are using their kids as an excuse for not going.
That's right.
Oh, raise my kids in a foreign country? You know, there are some disadvantages. Sure there are. I mean, you look at most of the missionary kids and, you know, they're not extremely well adjusted. They're not great people. Good grief, man. They're just... You know, I'm like the banner bearer of the bunch. I'm like the poster boy of them. I understand. Yeah, there are some disadvantages, sure. But there's a whole lot worse things your kids could be doing.
That's right. Amen.
A lot of them want to use their pride or their job as these excuses why they aren't going. You know, not everyone in this room is called. We all know that. But there may be some people that are called, sitting right here, right now, listening to me. During this week, you might have been called of God. God has impressed upon your heart whether you be 60 or 50 or 15. And God's saying, I'm setting you apart. I'm calling you. I want you to come. And I would ask you right now, if you're called, what's your excuse? This man was called and he says, I've married a wife. I cannot come. Is your husband called and you're standing in his way? If he was to stand up and say, the Lord has called me to go to who knows where, would you be thinking, oh, stupid, don't go off and say something stupid? You need to think about this. You need to consider it. You kids, would your parents be able to go, or would they be too tied up with your messes that they just can't go? You would think that those who are called would always go. You'd think that those who God calls to the field would always make it. But in most cases, they don't. They don't. Because they're handicapped. Or because they fake that they're handicapped. We all need to think about this.